Hey, everybody. On this episode, we expose the racists running our companies and our corporations. Coca-Cola has decided to go woke, which may mean they might go broke. I dissect the language of critical race theory. And for every parent and student out there, this is one of the most important episodes we've done in recent memory to dissect what your children are learning, what you might be learning if you're in college from your professor or in high school from your teachers. It's very important to understand the philosophy, the intent, and the goal of the people that are pushing for this. If you want to support us and the work we are doing, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, if you are compelled to act on what we are saying, go to Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Start a chapter, get engaged, get involved at Turning Point USA. We expose the racists running our country and the corporations. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Last year, hundreds of you, that's right, my listeners, took my advice and did something very wise. Very smart. You guys went to PeerTalk. If you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, your family could save over $800 a year just by switching to PeerTalk same service. You get the same great coverage because they use the exact same towers, but save you a fortune because they don't have all this overhead. By the way, PeerTalk is the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs with the absolute best customer service team based right here in America. That's right, based in America. Sounds good. It gets better. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you don't go over on data, they never charge you for it. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk right now to save 50% off your first month. That's #250. Say Charlie Kirk. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. I want to get to a story here that has been heating up the last couple of days. Who would have ever thought that Coca-Cola was going to re-embrace KKK roots in Georgia? Coca-Cola has now decided to be a heavily and explicitly racist company, promoting some would call anti-white rhetoric, and I would agree with that. So they had a series of lectures that was put on by Robin DiAngelo, to try and make the workplace more inclusive. It started with confronting racism, understanding what it means to be white, challenging what it means to be racist. It continues by saying in Coca-Cola, to be less white is to be less oppressive, be less arrogant, be less certain, be less defensive, be less ignorant, be more humble, listen, believe. Break with apathy and break with white solidarity. This is what Coca-Cola thinks of white people. This is what a publicly traded company thinks of white people. So let's just begin with what their viewpoint is. They believe that only white people can be racist. They don't believe black people can be racist. They don't believe Hispanic people can be racist. They don't think Asian people can be racist. They believe racism is a power struggle. Whites against everyone else. White colonialist supremacist society versus everyone else. As James Lindsay says in Cynical Theories, they think racism is the ordinary state. They believe that there is no course of action except mass societal revolution that could undo the racism all around us. Everything you see, everything you touch, everything you hear, everything you do is baked and laced with racism. So Coca-Cola believes, a publicly traded company, that white people, or to be white, means to be ignorant, defensive, arrogant, and oppressive. No nuance at all whatsoever. but an entire race of people with something they cannot control, their skin color, necessarily means that they are ignorant, arrogant, and oppressive. This is Coca-Cola's own learning seminar. Could you imagine if any company said that about black people? They would be correctly repudiated, rejected, and forced to explain it. But if you change one word from white to black or black to white, all of a sudden you are not racist. You are woke. You're enlightened. You're considered to be appropriately liberal. And I don't want to say liberal. That's not the right term. But radical. That's a better term. So Coca-Cola brings in Robin DiAngelo, the racist. Robin DiAngelo would have been a great KKK leader. She would have been a phenomenal Southern segregationist. I've never seen anyone care as much about skin color since David Duke was running the KKK. And I don't say this lightly, by the way, and I don't say it sarcastically, and I don't say it for humorous intent. I say it seriously and literally. The woke Democrat Party and Coca-Cola alongside of it are just as racist, if not more racist, than the KKK and the Southern Democrat roots that they're trying to re-embrace. It's this simple. If you care about skin color, you're a racist. If you care about skin color to a degree that you categorize an entire group of people as being ignorant, arrogant, and oppressive based just on how they look, something they cannot control, not caring about human agency, not caring about human action, not at all caring about their character, their spirit, or their soul, then you are a racist. And that is the new Democrat Party. That is the woke ideology that has infected every single corner of American society, where we actually made the appropriate amount of societal and racial progress, where we reached a place where your actions truly could be measured by your outputs. Your output, I should say, would be directly correlated to your actions. That the people that wish to usher in private property abolition, religious freedom getting put away, they needed a new rallying cry. They needed a new ideology to convince people that what you are seeing around you must be destroyed. And that was and is a racist school of thought in critical theory. Thank you, Herbert Marcuse from the Frankfurt School, called critical race theory. Coca-Cola continues by saying, in the United States and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white. This is a complete lie by Robin DiAngelo. No data, no evidence whatsoever. Robin DiAngelo, with Coca-Cola as her corporate sponsor, says research shows that by age 3 to 4, children understand that it is better to be white. What does being white mean to Robin DiAngelo? If Robin DiAngelo believes that working hard and showing up on time, acting ethically in Judeo-Christian values means being white, then she's a white supremacist. The Coca-Cola presentation ends with, try to be less white. Now, as I am watching, as I'm looking at this screenshot, there's a Coca-Cola logo in the upper right-hand corner as they probably paid Robin DiAngelo an exorbitant speaking fee to come give a presentation on all of this. And you can even check this out on LinkedIn by Robin DiAngelo, who is guilt-ridden for whatever reason, on a presentation called Confronting Racism. Getting race on the table is her first thing. Understanding what it means to be white, challenging what it means to be racist. Then acknowledging racial resentment. Thinking critically about our words and actions. A thoughtful approach to educating ourselves about racism. What you can do and keeping the work going within our organizations. Robin DiAngelo continues by saying, and she's paid to do this for Coca-Cola, It's fair to say that America has spent its entire history in a difficult conversation about race. No, it hasn't. What are you talking about? Our entire history? I grew up in an America with a 53% English as a second language, majority Hispanic high school, and no one cared about each other's race. We cared about your character. We cared about if you were a good person. Robin DiAngelo continues by saying, and around the world, nations everywhere have joined the discussion. Really? Has China joined the discussion about race? Has Russia joined the discussion about race? In recent decades, this has manifested as a series of direct challenges to systemic racism, which doesn't exist. It's a lie. It's like Narnia. It doesn't exist. You can keep looking for it, you'll never find it. An inequality that addresses the effects of white privilege. A bitter racist lie. The relative immunity white people, people of European origin, enjoy relative to the challenges people of color face. So I can trace the Kirk side of my family back to the 1630s in this country, some of the original settlers in America. What does that have to do with me? Am I an independent person of that? Or is there some sort of intergenerational mystical connection that she argues between their actions and my actions? And if that is true, then what about white people, such as myself, who have ancestors that fought in the American Civil War on the Union side? What does she have to say about that? So this is Coca-Cola, publicly traded company, not just teaching our children, but teaching the graduates of the colleges. How did this happen? We sent way too many kids to college. They learned these awful ideas and they filled these corporate boardrooms. Look, I want to tell you guys about Legacy Box. They do an amazing job, and I can tell you from personal experience, it's something you guys got to learn about. Legacy Box is an ingenious mail-in service to have all those irreplaceable moments trapped on videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to DVD or digital. You see, home movies can transport us back to unforgettable times. When was the last time you watched yours? One song, one photo, one sniff of nostalgia can take us all back to the summer bike rides, Little League championships, and more. Isn't ensuring that your family's legacy is digitally preserved so it can be passed down from one generation critically important? Legacy Box helps bring new life to your old media by unlocking those trapped family memories and putting them in modern digital format that's easy to use. I could tell you Legacy Box was so easy to use. You put it in the box, you send it off, boom, there you go. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is so easy. You pack and send. Their team then digitizes everything by hand, and then you enjoy. Get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Today, Legacy Box is the world's leader digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 850,000 families have trusted them to digitally preserve their past. Everything is digitized by hand in a 50,000-square-foot processing facility in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/Charlie to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer and send in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/Charlie to save 40% while supplies last. We got an email here from a listener who listens to our Ask Me Anything episode, Amy from Oregon, because we've been warning about how critical race theory is spreading the country at times even quicker than the virus. And it's true. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for all you do for our country. I'm in Oregon and have kids in high school, and we are seriously looking to move to Texas. Our governor is one of the worst, which, as you know, you've mentioned on your podcast a few times. It's true. I was listening to your AMA this morning, and you were talking about the Illinois State School Board of Education. Well, last week it came out here in Oregon that our teachers are now supposed to recognize how math is a form of white supremacy. 1 + 1 = 2. Racist. And shows that, quote, worship of the written word. There should no longer be right and wrong, as it is a form of white privilege being forced onto kids. The idea of right and wrong, the idea of character development, the idea of ethics, all of it is an idea of white privilege. This is in our schools, in our police departments, in our military. I'm sure you can find stuff on it. They are calling it a training for teachers, the pathway for math to math equity. Last time I checked, math is objective and has to be exact. See, they don't believe that. They don't believe that rational thinking and reason is something that we should consider as objective. You see, it's a very interesting part of your email, Amy. You say it shows worship of the written word. One of the ideas of critical race theory, one of the things that Christine Kane, a Christian, she had this discussion with this racist last summer about how every culture had different ways of communicating their values. And in Western culture, we just tend to write things down. That is the Hebrews from the people of Israel to obviously the New Testament when the formation of Christianity, the idea of the written centralized canon was very, very important. Where the critical race theorists would argue, well, in Africa, they didn't write things down. It was oral tradition. And this is very, very deceiving because the Jewish people also had oral tradition as well. It just wasn't considered to be as high a threshold of God's spoken word. You write things down for a reason so that they cannot be challenged in the future, henceforth the idea of objectivity and irrefutable truth or agreed upon truth. And so in the new Oregon curriculum, which is similar to the Illinois State Board of Education curriculum, it says that you must not worship the written word. And so the idea of math, the idea of science, but math is probably even an easier one, where you have the objective agreed upon pursuit of truth, or at least something that you can all say yes. 2 + 2 = 4. 5 + 5 = 10. It's pretty easy. They say, no, 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 no. That's your perspective. Even though you can say what the terms mean and you can show very simply that if you have 5 pencils + 5 pencils = 10, the critical race theorists say that's a white supremacist practice that you are using and it's been used against brown people and people of color. Now, if this sounds asinine and it sounds dangerous, it is, but it's widespread. And quite honestly, not enough people are pushing back against it because the academics have laced this radicalism under this nice sounding descriptor of the entire country being limitlessly racist. So Robin DiAngelo gets paid massive sums of money to teach people that work for massive corporations how racist they are. So in this course at LinkedIn Learning, which is a Microsoft company, go figure, it says, Robin DiAngelo, the best-selling author of White Fragility, gives you the vocabulary and practices you need to start confronting racism and unconscious bias at the individual level and throughout your organization. By the way, just so we're clear, no one has ever been able to objectively prove unconscious bias. Never. It is speculative and it has never been proven scientifically or clinically ever. There's no magic recipe for building an inclusive workplace. It's a process that needs to involve people of color and that needs to go on for as long as your company's in business. Oh, what a great business model Robin DiAngelo has. It's a problem that is going to destroy your company, destroy our world, destroy our civilization. And it's going to go on forever, so keep hiring me to lecture for you every year. It's a wonderful business model when you think about it. She has figured out the eternal tree of guilt. Robin DiAngelo has figured out a business model where she offers no solutions. She offers an eternal problem, and she's the only one that can communicate it. And if you don't hire her, you're a racist. But with these tools at your disposal, you'll be well on your way. So you'll never solve the problem, but at least you'll start the long, never-ending journey of atoning for your sin that you can't articulate. Here's an email we got. Hey, Charlie, currently listening to your radio show. Thank you. Assuming that someone lives in Illinois, can parents pull their kids out of public school and homeschool their children and avoid the critical race theory? That's the only way, because many private schools are going to go this way as well. We've been going through the Robin DiAngelo course at Coca-Cola, publicly traded company out of Atlanta, Georgia. I've repeated that for a couple times, the publicly traded company aspect of it, because this is not some sort of fringe group that is embracing this. This is not some unsubstantiated speculation that we are making. In fact, there is some sound here I want to make from James Lindsay, who is the best on this, by the way. James Lindsay is phenomenal. Cut 15. Washington State Equity Task Force in November 2019 on critical race theory, being on time and to-do lists, this is before the pandemic, is racist. I actually haven't listened to this clip in quite some time, so we'll play tape and I'll do my best reacting to it. Play tape.
Most white people and Europeans are about agendas and to-do lists and tasks and, oh, we have 30 minutes for this and, oh, time to move on. Where many people of color, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. In South Africa, if we were meeting right here, 2:35, if Craig Bell walked in right now in South Africa, what would happen is they would stop. Welcome him. How was your weekend? You had any plans for Thanksgiving? And would bring him up to speed on what he missed.
Wow. She proved my point. She's an unbelievably racist person. Karen, this is Karen Johnson, task force member on health disparities. So she's making my point. And look, I've said this before and it's provocative, but I don't really care. All men are created equal by God. Equality under the law and equality under the Lord. Not all cultures are equal. They're not. The American culture is not equal to the Iranian culture. It's not. We do not throw homosexuals or gay people off the top of roofs. You can speak freely and dissent against our leaders. Western society and our constitutional republic is not the same. This kind of cultural relativism. Let me make another one that's not talked about enough. America's a more moral country than China. Not every culture is made the same because cultures are made by people. What makes American culture different, what makes Western society different, it's inspired from the word of God, mixed with human reason, which is a gift from God, according to Thomas Aquinas, and I completely agree. So Karen Johnson, I want to play this tape again because I was kind of figuring something out here. I was plugging in something so I could keep on live streaming. She says this. She says that white people and Europeans, by the way, I have no connection to Europe except for the fact that my family came from Europe 400 years ago. No connection. So unless she's trying to make some sort of ethno-racist argument that your character means nothing and your DNA means everything, then that is a conversation that you should not want to have because it is evil. You should stay away from conversations like that, Karen Johnson. And then she says, well, if we were in South Africa, we'd have this long conversation with no time and no to-do lists. Yeah, you're probably right. Why do you think the Western economies are more efficient and do better? Well, because of market-driven principles that were discovered, not created by Adam Smith, and the idea of private property that goes all the way back to Abraham buying Hebron to bury his children and grandchildren. You can actually visit it still in Israel. Anyway, why is that significant? He bought the land. He didn't conquer it. He didn't take it. He didn't say it's mine. He bought it. Private property. Private property matters. Why? You're able to enjoy the fruits of your labor, your ingenuity, the hours you put in. Well, then when you have private property, you have competition. When you have competition, things improve. So Karen Johnson is critiquing Western society, saying, everyone in the West, oh, you white people, literally what she says, you have your to-do list, you're in such a rush to get things done. Why do you think that is? Because a wealthy, vibrant, productive society requires efficiency, not being a sloth, not being lazy. So the Bible clearly says that when you are sedentary, man does not work, he does not eat. It's a proverb. Paul restated it in the New Testament. So that idea of applying what God has given to you to produce, go forth and multiply, occupy till I come, is a biblical idea. So Karen Johnson's real complaint is with the word of God. And I'm not trying to overly religialize this. Some of you watching might not believe the same religious beliefs I have, but you cannot argue where it came from. That's the point. But Karen Johnson is critiquing Western culture and she's almost glorifying. And by the way, there might be some good to South African culture, what she's saying, that all of a sudden she asks, how was your weekend? How was this? And all of a sudden you lose 45 minutes. Western culture, and I think this is a very good thing. I think we can slow things down at times, but that's what the idea of liberty is. You have the liberty to act as you wish. For example, Karen Johnson would love Amish culture. She would. Amish culture is a critique voluntarily of Western neoliberal capitalist systems. So what does the Amish culture do? They live communally. They live off the grid. They make their own food most of the time. They have their own set of values, their own ethics. They choose to have medical freedom. And they can do that under the system of liberty. You see, the fallacy in Karen Johnson's argument here that I just played from Seattle or some crazy thing is you don't have to subscribe to Western culture, even if you're in the West. That's a beautiful thing about liberty. You can go live communally in the woods, in the desert, if you so choose. I want you to play this again. This is some woman who's a task force member on the Governor's Interagency Council on Health Disparities. She can only believe something as foolish as this because she went to a university. When you naturally go about your life, there's no way you could believe something as foolish, lacking wisdom, as what Karen Johnson believes. Play tape.
Most white people and Europeans are about agendas and to-do lists and tasks and, oh, we have 30 minutes for this and, oh, time to move on. Where many people of color, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. In South Africa, if we were meeting right here, 235, if Craig Bill walked in right now in South Africa, what would happen is they would stop. Welcome him. How was your weekend? You had any plans for Thanksgiving? And would bring him up to speed on what he missed.
So she's almost criticizing how the West views time. This is a deeper point. I could go on endlessly for this. Where does time come from? Why does time matter? So she's correct. Certain civilizations do not value time like the West does. Do you notice what we have an over surplus in our society of clocks? Everyone wants to know what time is it? What's happening? Why? Well, you go all the way back. Who created time? And time is created by God. He created the separation of days. Time is very valuable. When you believe there's a mandate to multiply, therefore you know you have a limited amount of what? Time. So Karen Johnson is arguing, well, this idea of 30 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that. Well, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe you want to create a maxim. Maybe you want to create a space. Maybe you want to create a framework not to waste what God has given you. That's exactly the idea of time and why it's so important in Western culture. Now, do we overdo it? I think we can. I think that there might be a valid critique of that. Do I think we don't spend enough time on certain things, like with family, like with church? Absolutely. But the broad societal indictment that Karen Johnson is saying, and by the way, can I just say this? She is the most stereotyping I've ever seen. She says, you know, all you white people. Well, if you want to end stereotyping, then why don't you end stereotyping? And this belief, and I've gone deeper into it than I think I have in actually any other radio show or podcast, so I think it's important to just the things that we take for granted, such as time and private property and markets and trading. It didn't just happen by accident. It's not an act of randomness. Even an honest atheist would agree with me that there is a point of origination and a tradition, and then it becomes normalized, and we don't ever take the time to look backwards and say, where did that come from? And maybe it's important to stay anchored or rooted from the place it came from. And now Ed Markey, who's, I think, a senator from Massachusetts who successfully beat a Kennedy, which I do appreciate because I'm not a fan, said that we need racial justice in vaccines. Ed Markey is running for the, and this is sarcasm, Media Matters, okay? He's running for the Northeast chapter of the KKK to believe something that race actually matters. Play cut 16.
Right from the onset of the pandemic, the Black, the Latinx, the indigenous communities, immigrant communities have suffered a disproportionate burden of COVID-19 cases and deaths. Racial justice, and that means healthcare justice, environmental justice, and economic justice must be our number one priority as we combat the ongoing pandemic. And that includes vaccine distribution.
So he wants vaccines to be distributed based on skin color. A very racist thing to believe. Wouldn't expect anything else from Democrats. What about this whole thing of environmental justice and racial justice? It sounds nice, right? That you must favor justice for one person or the other. There is a teaching in Leviticus that you should never favor justice even with a rich man or a poor man in court. That justice must be what? Blind. What an idea. In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. At thinker.org, they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you an access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. I've used Thinker. I use it almost every single day to digest big ideas quickly and easy to understand. So if you want to challenge your preconceptions, learn something new every day, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org. That's T-H-I-N-K-R.org to start a free trial today. Again, that's thinker.org. I'm going to get to Senator Tom Cotton. He's a friend of mine. He's very courageous. Don't agree with him on everything. There were a couple of things that I didn't see eye to eye with him recently. However, I always defended him as an honorable and honest person. And I would say that straight to his face. He's been very, very good to me. I have not seen this clip yet, so we'll react together. Play tape.
Yes, I think discrimination is morally wrong. Absolutely.
You're aware that President Biden has signed an executive order stating that his administration will affirmatively advance racial equity. Not racial equality, but racial equity.
Yes, and I read the opening of that executive order, which defines equity as the fair and impartial treatment of every person without regard to their status, including the individuals who have been in underserved communities where they were not accorded that before. But I don't see any distinction between in that regard. That's the definition that was included in that executive order that you're talking about.
But that's not the definition that is used by liberals, Democrats, and civil service bureaucrats. Equity is not what you might think it is. You might think it's the quality of being fair and impartial. No, they mean equity by massive redistribution. They mean equity by changing the entire system to punish one group of people to favor another. Equality under the law is moral. Equality of a starting point is admirable but difficult. Equality of outcome, which equity really means, is immoral. And it's wrong. So I'm glad that Senator Tom Cotton asked Merrick Garland that question. But even more of a pointed question should be, why is it that the Biden administration cares about the color of people's skin? And don't give me this nonsense about how there are certain groups of people that are poorer than others based solely on skin color. If you take skin color out of the equation, you just look at fatherlessness in this country, that is the true metric. So what could be blamed for fatherlessness is somehow blamed on racism. Thomas Sowell is the leading thinker on this. In fact, I need to reread Discrimination and Disparities. It's been a couple of years. Where basically his guiding thesis is do not blame outcomes on racism, if it could be blamed on human action and human choices. You see, the blanket retreat to racism or blaming things on racism is lazy, sloppy, dangerous, and easy. It's easy to do that. Blame everything on racism. It removes responsibility for one's actions. It removes accountability. If you come from the critical race theory standpoint, which our children are learning right now, as I do this broadcast, millions of children are learning critical race theory. What are you doing about it? Most people aren't doing anything. And the critical race theory believes, and they teach to young children, you don't actually have to be responsible for what you do. If you steal your friend's backpack, if you take their iPhone, if you beat them up, if you call them a bad name, if you act improperly, you do not have to be responsible for that action. Because in reality, you're being manipulated by the masters of a white supremacist racist construct. What the postmodernists, the critical race theorists, and the proponents of everything is racist philosophy, the real divide goes back to what I've been talking about on college campuses at Turning Point USA for years, which is victor versus victim. Are you going to take responsibility for your actions? And if not, why are you blaming somebody else? That's really what it comes down to. And the Democrats and the left, they want to subsidize, they want to underwrite the oppression Olympics, people that are blaming others for their problems. It's harder to be a conservative. It's harder to look inside and say, I'm going to improve my actions. I'm going to apply myself. It's more tempting. It's easier to blame the external world. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.